His presence is here. We share in Revelations, and we've shared many weeks now, and I love reading it, where he says, I walk the aisles of my church. Big and small. We found out this past week that he's really focused on the small churches. But that's good. I want his attention. Amen? I want God's attention here in the service, here at this church, here in my life. Because then I know he's with me. Amen. So I want to speak a little today on the time we've got. And it's an area that we have really pushed to the side. I know here at our church and probably many churches. Let me just read this. Children are scattered all over the land. We've lost our love for our fellow man. Fathers and mothers are parting today. That means divorcing. There's dust on the altar where we used to pray. Tears that once shed for a brother in need, they're now called old-fashioned. They're no longer seen. Greed and proud hearts have gotten in the way. There's dust on the altar where we used to pray. Sinners are wandering. They're lost in the night. They're looking for someone to show them the light. Let's all join together in the old-fashioned way and get the dust off of the altar. Let's go back and pray. The chorus of this goes, let's seek out the old paths and walk therein. Our children are crying and dying in sin. Satan is laughing as God's people stray. There's dust on the altar where we used to pray. Anybody just feel like a ton of bricks fell on you? Came across that on our way Saturday down to head down south. And listening to the gospel greats. I was driving and all of a sudden I heard that song come on and it's like, oh my gosh, that is sad. But it's like, wow, Lord, that's so true. It's like, we've strayed. We've strayed from where many answers were given, where many lives were changed, where situations were taken care of, because we figure, well, I don't need to go up to the altar. I'm as guilty because I know God can teach. Yes, he can teach, but he can touch each every one of you right where you're at. So it's not to say that, but there is something to say when somebody stands up and comes to the altar. You're making a statement, not to the people. You're making a statement to yourself to say, I am going to put action to what I need from my God. I want to come here, Lord. Now, altars have various different appearances and things. We call this the altar. The front of the church is the altar. But the altar of the church is this area up here where we come and we separate ourselves from where we just sit. But when we sit and we read and we receive the message, but we get to that point to where there's something deeper that I need from God, and I'm going to walk up, and I'm going to say, Lord, there was many times they would call like prayer meetings and altar meetings, and the altar was filled, and nobody went home back in the day, because there was a power that came. Oh yeah, that power could hit here, but there's something when we come to hear. I don't know what it is. It's not magic. It's not woo stuff. But no, think of this. Think if Jesus just thought about going to the cross. He could sit in that cell. He could sit in your chairs and go, I'm going to go to the cross. I'll just do it right where I'm at, and I'll just perceive it to be, and it'll be done. But Jesus took a step. He even carried the cross a ways. And then he even crawled on the cross. You visualize, you know, some of the things we've seen and studies and all that of the crucifixion. Whether it happened or not, I don't know. It might have been, but I believe it could have happened, because Jesus willingly laid down his life and he was put upon the cross. So he had to do something. He had to make actions to his what he was going to accomplish. So that's just something that just comes to me now. Jesus, in many ways, stepped out and did things. And I think for us today, we need to probably get back to that somewhat in our churches, that we step out when we have a need and that we come up. And so you probably know where this is going before we end the service today. Anybody got a clue? We're going to have an altar call here, and I just want you guys to prepare yourself. And that's okay if you don't come. I'm not a pressured pastor to say, I want everybody up here, and I'm going to keep calling until everybody comes. Everybody. No. Through this message I'm going to share, I hope the Lord just begins to move in you. Amen. Lord, move in their spirits right now. Move in my spirit, Lord. To whatever this message has and to whatever the rest of this morning holds, that, Lord, it is totally that of you. Amen. And that you're ministering into hurts and hearts and lives and minds and everything that's taking place here. Amen? And again, like I say, I'm not forcing anybody to come to the altar, but I believe we need to put a sign up here that says, the altar is open. The altar is open. For whatever reason, we don't speak much of the altar. Somehow many churches, and we are in this column, don't mention or give much attention to the altar. Back in the day. Whatever is that? What is that back in the day? Anybody remember back in the day? Remember some of the old days back 20, 30, 40 years back? Church meetings went on for hours and hours on a Sunday and a Sunday night. Had chicken dinner on the grounds, went back in for the PM service, whatever the case is. People were just hungry and wanted to be there. And then things have changed now, and that's where we're at today. But back in the day, we may be speaking not just years, but decades, since much has been given attention, or been given towards that of the altar. Now, there's nothing magical about the altar, but there is power that can be experienced when a person steps up to the altar. I don't know what it is, but the power of God. And that same power can touch you right there. I know it. The power of God is everywhere, amen? The power of God is in your home. You can even have an altar in your home. I'm not saying that we're going to get religious and have altars built everywhere, but I'm just saying, God's power is everywhere, his presence is everywhere, and he'll meet you where you're at. But there's times I just want to say, Lord, I think so much of you, I want to come up here, Lord. You're right here. Sometimes people say, those that have visions and see things, sometimes they'll say, I just saw there was like an angel with his wings spread out over the altar area up here. Not here, but I think sometimes maybe in the past there has been. I don't know. We've got some wonderful people that kind of move in that. I have never witnessed it in my spiritual eyes and things, but maybe it's because I'm so focused on paying attention to you guys. But I've heard people say, oh, over here there was an angel just sitting there. Big. Over here. An angel. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Now maybe there is at times an angel sitting right up here. And the answer to your prayer, the answer to your need might be where you need to make that unction to come and say, I believe it, and by faith. By faith. Everybody say, by faith. I come. Amen. It's by faith that I come. Thank you, Lord. So, I've already shared about this. Best on the altar. My trip. Maybe that was all that reason why I left here last week, is to go down the interstate and just hear that. Although I did enjoy the Saturday night and the Sunday. So we look into God's word regarding altars, and we can find that the first one mentioned goes back into Genesis 8:20. Now, this is not going to be an in-depth study of altars, okay? But I just want to kind of run through just a few scripture areas to kind of get us focused on altars, the altar. Now, you got to be careful that you're going to the right altar, because there's also altars that are built for that of the idols and other gods, you know. And so it's not that type of altar. The altar that we go to is God's altar. It's there that we receive that of God, or we sacrifice. No longer do, when you come up here, aren't you glad that you don't have to sacrifice a lamb or a firstborn animal or whatever? It's like, but what we are doing is we're taking our life and we're laying it on the altar as a sacrifice to say, Lord, I want to die to sin. Here I am, I'm yours. But in Genesis 8:20, it talks about God's covenant with creation. Now, we know that what happened with Noah, but in 8:20 it says, and then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelt a soothing aroma, and the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Prior to Noah's covenant, it is presented in the Bible only by inference. The use of the term covenant appears first in God's dealings with Noah in Genesis 6:18. And it's tied to and established by his sacrificial offering after the flood. In gratitude for his deliverance, Noah built an altar and offered blood sacrifices. There is no direct command specifically instructing Noah to offer a blood sacrifice, clearly suggesting the precedent had been established, reaching back through Abel to the lessons of the garden. And so we find that Noah's first act after the flood was to build that altar and sacrifice to the Lord. God was pleased and made promises to the human family through the faith of Noah. He also instituted the law of seed time and harvest. So there is that first altar. Now, altars were used for sacrificial things, and let's kind of just continue on here just a little bit. An altar can be described as a table, a platform, are an elevated place on which a priest places a sacrifice offering to God. Of course, if there are altars built for sacrifices to God, there's also altars that are built to sacrifice to the pagan gods. So they did a lot of that back then too. Okay. Now, after the altar that Noah had built, the next several found in Scripture, they're connected with that of Abraham or Abram. His first altar served as a symbol of his possession of the land. We're in Genesis, so most of it's going to be there. Genesis 12. In Genesis 12, 7. And this is the promises to Abram. If I go up to 12, 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land and to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were in the land. And here it is. Then the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar. Abram, not the Lord, Abram built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And then you begin to follow it down to where, and it goes to, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And then they began to look at that of sacrificing to that of animals. Then we look at Genesis 22:9. This is the one that we all are familiar with. And what was that? His last altar he built was the one that he was preparing to sacrifice his son on top of the mountain in the land of Moriah. Genesis 22:9. Yeah, oh boy, there's so much into that as thinking of Abram and how God had promised him his son, and now God is saying, sacrifice your son. It's like, whew. But we're not going to get into that. We're looking at just this altar thing that we hear about and read in the Bible. In 22:9, Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket of by the horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for the burnt offering instead of his son. So a lot in that scripture. Listen to God. Okay, it was one thing for sure. If he would have gone on his merry way thinking, wait, I don't have time, God. I've got to do this thing that you've told me to do. And, you know, here we would have sacrificed his son, and God would have probably come back saying, if you would have stopped and listened, I was going to say, don't do that. You know, so it says, please listen to God and everything you're doing. Amen? But here again, we're finding an altar. So this altar was prepared for a sacrifice of his son. So the altars, again, in the New Testament times, a lot were that of sacrificing to that of God for victories or for whatever it might have been, or things that he brought you through or what he has done for you. They made a memorial to God by building an altar. So we always remembered that. In the Hebrew word for altar, it means a place of slaughter or sacrifice. Altars in the Old Testament were not restricted to animal sacrifices. In Joshua 22, now we're just going to move up here to Joshua 22. Joshua 22, 26 to 29. So altars in the Old Testament were not just restricted to animal sacrifices. In Joshua here, it indicates that altars were used at times to remind the Israelites of their heritage or to call attention to a major event. Didn't they, when they crossed the river there, and it was right, didn't they take out there and they built a stone thing to remember that time when we crossed there? It was a remembrance. When God did something magnificent or something powerful in that person's life or in that direction of where God was taking them, they would build an altar. They would make something to remind them of, guess what? God showed up there. God showed up here. God showed up over here. And so it's a way of remembrances. Where is that? Joshua 22, 26. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifice. This is Joshua 22, 26. Now into 27. But that it may be a witness between you and us, as our generations after us, that we may perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your descendants may not say, to our descendants in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. So generation after generation, this was the passing on of things, right? That the children were going to be blessed, and generation after generation, that these things were coming. Therefore, verse 28, we said that it will be when they say this to us or to our generations in time to come that we may say, here is the replica of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, though not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifice, but it is a witness between you and us. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from following the Lord this day, to build an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, or for sacrifice, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. So there's a reference again. Like I say, I don't think I wrote it down, but as far as how many times throughout scriptures the altars were used and things of that nature, good and bad, you know, talking about pagan gods and sacrifices. So we found that this indicates that the altars are used at times to remind the Israelites of their heritage or to call attention to a major event. Now, 1 Kings. 1 Kings 1:50. And what you're going to read there, and I'm just going to touch upon what that is used here, is altars may be used as a refuge, as we find it in Kings, 1 Kings 1:50 through 51, and also in Kings 2nd chapter 28, 1 Kings 2:28. And that's where you would read in there where they grabbed hold of the horns of the altar, you know, a refuge. I think as we look at that, and now we're going to look at that as we go into the New Testament, as Jesus died for us, Jesus is our refuge. Amen. He died for us to take us and to bring us out of the sin, to bring us back into a reconciled state with that of God. Because why? God loves us so much that he wants us to come back to him. And he made a way through that of Jesus Christ. And so we now, after we looked at this, and you know, you can read that there for yourself in 1 Kings about the altar being a refuge, you know, what better refuge do we have than that of Jesus Christ and how he came for us? And quickly, as we get into the New Testament, there were altars in the temple of the Jewish people. In Acts 17, now this is, let's just move into New Testament, Acts. Remember Acts 17. This is awesome. So here, I'm going to go to 16. Now in Acts 17:16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. And then he encounters a philosopher. And then some say, what does this babbler say? What does this babbler say to him? Others say, he seems to be a proclaimer of a foreign god because he preached to them Jesus and his resurrection. What is this guy talking about? He's dealing with philosophers and all these learned people, and Paul is sharing about what? The resurrection of Christ. And they took him and they brought him in verse 19, and they said, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what things these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear of some new thing. And here's where Paul begins to address. Then Paul stood in the midst, and he says this, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Has anybody ever here seen any religious people? Religious places? I perceive that in all things you are very religious, for as I was passing through and I considered the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. An altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him is the one I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Think about that today in your situation. Verse 25, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he is the one that gives to all life. He is the one that gives breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So here again, we just go back, but they had an altar, and on that altar they said, to the unknown God. And here Paul is saying, therefore the one whom you worship without knowing is the one that I am proclaiming. It's interesting how within us, we will feel, or and even back then, and we know there's many things out there of other powers. There's something out there that we always look for, but here we're finding that they, to the God, or to the unknown God, I'm glad that I know the God. Do you know the God that was unknown to them? I hope so, and I believe we do here today. Because it was God from the beginning. God in many of our lives, even before you came to him in a relationship, what? He knew you. He knew you. He created you. Amen? And I think in my times, and I've shared this a little bit, about how even before I really had a relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I knew there was a God. And I never got into the gods of woo-woo stuff. I just, for whatever it was just inherently in me, God. God. And he was leading and directing my life even as a child. Do you believe he was leading and directing your life as a child? He does that. We shared some things in Thursday about things that we get into and all in the life and how things develop, and we sometimes dabble in witchcraft things or things that, you know, seems to be so prevalent and must be okay. But even in those times, how God protects us and how he brought me through a time with a situation. But I just knew that it was God speaking to me, and I knew I had to do something, and I did it. And so look at your life here today. And God has been in your life, a part of your life, from the very beginning. Amen? He's got a vested interest in you. And that's why we try to tell people that you're not junk. The old thing is, God doesn't make junk. We were all on the scrap heap for a while. We all were tainted. But as when we receive an understanding of what God gives through us, that out of Jesus Christ, that he can take us from where we're at, estranged from him, and bring him into a relationship with him, it's because of that love. And we look at in Hebrews 13:10, and we're going to wrap it up here, just two more things here. Hebrews 13:10, it speaks of, I'm going to start in 7, read it as you're turning there. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. That's what's awesome there, because whatever's going on, it's still for today. Amen? And so it has an ongoing, never-expiring date. Verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Our altar is the cross of Christ. And those who still trust in the old rituals, they are excluded from the saving benefits of his death. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, we burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go, in verse 13, go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, and that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When I read that and think about that, Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross, and then we're told to, let's give the sacrifice of praise. Does that kill you? Well, some people it might. Some people go, oh, I don't want to sing that, oh, I don't want to do this, or whatever. It's like, sacrifice of praise. And, you know, we have choruses and things that have been put out there, like, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And that's all he's wanting. Can't we not stand before him on a Sunday morning in praise and worship? We lift our hands as surrender, and we just say, I praise you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. He just wants to hear us worship him. To say we love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for what? Making me whole. Before we came to Christ, we were empty. We were full of this, that, and the other and all. But we come to the altar and leave it there. Leave it there. That was some of those songs that they would sing back in the day. Come to the altar and leave it there. And don't pick it up when you leave. We would send and put and, you know, come and just say, I'm just leaving it here, Lord, at the altar. The things that have a hold of me. Whatever it might be. If it's something that has a hold of you, that restricts you from worshiping God, to be free, to really not worshiping, but just to be free in God, amen, Jesus Christ. We have people in our churches that are still bound. But didn't Jesus loosen the bounds? The bindings he broke off? But we keep the bounding things on us. Satan does that by causing us to remember the things of the past that we got out of. And he says, are you sure? Are you back in it? Are you dabbled? Whatever it is. But that's those things. When those things come up, we've got to bring it to the altar and leave it there and walk away a lot lighter. Amen? Walk away with a consciousness of, oh, Jesus, you love me. You love me. Thank you, Father. I don't know why people come to church and they leave still the same way. Why is that? Why do we come to church where you should come to church and get rid of all your junk? Isn't there a place out there that says 1-800-GOT-JUNK or something like that? We all got junk. Now we need to come, and God has given us a way. What more does he need to do? He has made a way for us through that of Jesus Christ to come to take our sins. He has come to heal us. He has come to strengthen us. He has come to fight our battles. He has come. Everybody said he's come. For me. Walk in it. Amen. He has come. He is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I'm going to go out and take on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. You know what? Come Monday, I can't wait until Sunday. Well, now come Monday, I can't wait until Thursday to get into a Bible study with a group of people that we just go through his word and we share and we look at this and we look at that. It is invigorating. It just gets you going, amen. And to come into that time of where it's a Bible study, it should be when you come into a church service on Sunday. It ought to be, I want to go. I can't wait to get there. I don't know what God's got in store, but I'm going to tell you, if he's visiting his churches, I want to be where he's at. Here am I. Open your eyes. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. But we have an altar. So that's what I'm saying. Well, the altar we have with us. We go, we come, we have it, and whatever the case might be, but there's something special about just coming up to the service or the front of the church. Let's try to wrap this up in Romans 12:1. God does not want dead sacrifices. God wants what? Living sacrifices. Because if you're a dead sacrifice, you ain't good for nothing. We got some dead churches. They're a church, but they're not really doing anything for the kingdom. We could be one of those churches if we don't pay attention. I could be a pastor like that if I don't pay attention. If you don't get excited for the things of God, read a scripture, be in his presence, worship, song, whatever the case is, and then you just start getting going. And there's times a lot of us on Thursday mornings, we're getting going. We're having church services on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. You ought to join us. It's a service. 12 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Well, what? Sometimes it's been after 1. That's true. We don't want to tell you, we don't want to scare them off too bad. It's like, oh, if I go there at 10 o'clock, oh my gosh. But I'm going to tell you, when you are in that presence, when God is just there, and we're not talking deep things, we're talking deep things, we're having good time, we're sharing good things, we're praying for this or that, praying for one another. You're there in his presence. And it's hard to say, oh, it's an hour and a half, we got to go. You know, I thought 10, 11:30. I used to put my calendar from 10 to 11:30. I just put 10 o'clock and I just leave it open. I just say 10 to 10 and it might go to noon, 1 o'clock. I don't know, whatever. But that is when you're stirred. And God is stirring you. And I tell you, there's a slide that we can't go back to now, but it's always in my presentation. I think as far as between now and the end of the year, touch your heart. There's 41 Sundays, 41 Thursdays. Oh, I'm sorry, 102 hours for Sunday, 61 for Thursday. So, okay, Sundays I got 102 hours, and that counts today. How many hours are left in the year between now and the end? How many hours? I don't know. A lot. Do you not understand how the world has such a draw on you? Do you know why you walk defeated? Do you know why you walk in misery and doom and gloom? The hours of the world, they've got a hold of you. And we're a small church, so we only got one service, and then Thursdays. So we've got to do it. I've got to do it, whatever the case is, the best that I can. And sometimes people go, oh, it goes to 12:15. Oh, so what? be back out here until another week. And so we get like, oh, we got it. Now, I did enjoy 11:15. I was having my eggs and all that at Bob Evans. But even nowadays, when we have a church service, it's like, we got to get out of here, man. Got to go. Been here an hour and a half. That's good. That's good. But God says, Tim, I'm with you always. And you think it's such a big thing to come to service for 2 hours or maybe three if you go to Sunday school? And well, that was my time with God, and it's still with God, to where he speaks and shares these things with me, and I'm sure he will do those same things with you. But please, when he speaks to you, pay attention. Every time I've had a question or ask him something, he has responded to me. May not have been that same hour, but somewhere along the line, it'll come back, and then I'll say, what's that about? And then God will say, well, didn't you ask about this 3 weeks ago? Yeah. Listen for the voice of God. He wants to be there with you. So here we are in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Here's what's happened to us. This is why we lose and we miss out on church. What's verse 2 say? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In that area of the world, conformed to this world, it would say, world is literally age, referring to a godless system. Is our systems out there in this world godless? Where have you been if you not think that? A godless system. We are not to accept the pattern of an age whose God is the devil. God's word tells us, you will choose this day who you will serve. You will either serve me or you will serve the devil. If you are here today and you're not serving God, his word says you're serving the devil. And I don't know if I'd want to be doing that, amen? But I think most of us here, I hope, have that relationship. Maybe there's some here in a deeper relationship with God. Maybe there's some that are just scratching the surface. That's up to you to understand within yourself. But you need to know where you're at in that relationship with him. Am I just scratching the surface of God? Or am I full in, head over heels, deep immersed in that of God? And I would share this with you, that if you are immersed with that of God, your life will be different. Oh, you mean I won't have problems? No. You mean I won't have sickness? No. But I'm going to say you will have a strong life when you are immersed in that of God. And you break away from the things of this world, and you don't conform anymore to the things of this world. See, I think in some of our times with God, and we get back to this altar, and we got to get this thing going, but that we've kind of followed the world. It's like we just don't have time for that at the end of the service or before the service. And so I want to today offer up to you that if you need to come and you want to come, you don't have to tell anybody what you're coming up here for. You just come, and you know what? Guess who knows? God. And it's just between you and God. It can take 30 seconds, a minute, 10 minutes, whatever it is. Again, please don't come up here just because I've asked you to. Come up here because the Spirit is pulling on you. And you're saying, I want to get that dust off of the altar. I think sometimes we talk about the altar, our heart, the altars. We, in us, you know, we talk about that of the church is nice, but we are the church. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are the sanctuary. We are the church. Sometimes our heart, the altar of our heart, has to be cleansed of the muck and mire that we walk in and day out in this world. And sometimes that's possibly the thing to come up and just say, I don't know. You just need to kind of like, just I'm just saying this, if you need to, let me get a bucket first. But you might need to regurgitate some of the things of this world out of your system, because it is just piled on. That's why you feel sick. That's why you can't seem to take another step. Yeah, you're going to have problems and stress, and things are not always going to go right. You're going to have health issues and all these things, but God is there for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen? just listen to this. And then if you need someone to pray with you, Denny will be glad to pray with men, and Linda or Don would pray for women. But feel free to come. And if you want to just come without having to be prayed with somebody, if you want to just come up here and just stand, I told him on Thursday, I said, I'll bring a chair or two. We can bring more chairs if it's hard to stand. I am wanting to do whatever I can to make it accessible for people to come up here. And if people go, I'd love to come, Pastor, but I can't stand very long. That's why we built chairs. And you don't have to stand at the altar. If it's too hard to kneel because you got knee replacements, that's okay. Sit! I've tried everything I can, guys, to follow what God is asking. Because all I want to hear from my God is, well done, good and faithful servant. And you hear that same. But I want to hear my God pleased with me. And I say, Lord, I've offered and I've given whatever I can to try to bring you more into our lives here at this church. And then sometimes it's up to the church to take that step. And so again, if you have to go, that's okay. We're not going to take names and numbers. But please, if you can, stay, come to the altar. Okay. Let's go ahead and play that. Just maybe listen to this and then feel free to come. And they meet you here at this altar, Father, that, Lord, I know you're here. I know your presence is here. And that, Father, I just thank you right now. Touch the hearts. Touch the lives of these people, Lord. And I do pray, Lord, for those in the seats as well, Lord. I just know, just touch each and every one of us, Lord, in a special, special way. And that, Father God, that there's something that's changed this day in them. That it's not by what I said. It's by what your word says. It's by what your spirit says to them. And it may not be anything that I've shared today in a message, Lord. It could be something totally different. But your word is powerful. Oh, Father, by that of the Holy Spirit, come visit each one right where they're at. Give them strength. Oh, give them a better outlook upon themselves, Father God. Let them no longer look down or think less of themselves. For, Father, we are created in your image. And that, Father, you are with us. And I thank you right now. I pray for minds to be changed. Lord, I pray right now for the touch of the Spirit of healing in the mind to change our thoughts, to no longer think of negativity, to no longer think of the past, of old things and bad things, but, Father, renew our mind today to be set upon you and all your goodness and all of your love. Oh, Father, 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 wrap your arms around those that need to sense that of love from you today. Oh, Father, just bring forth, Father, a feeling in them, Lord, that they have not felt in years, Father God, for how this world has beaten them down and said that they are of no value or that they have messed up in their past and there's not going to be anything different in their future. Lord, today, let them know their future has changed. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.